think I left my notes laying over there. Did you guys sleep good last night? I heard there's a chemistry test tomorrow. Who's got that? All right. I've always been a real pro at chemistry. With my girlfriend, maybe. That's about it. Oh, man, that was bad. Yeah, chemistry was not my forte. But I did get a B in chemistry when I was at UCA. But then I went to college and I flunked. So I quit chemistry class and I changed my major. It wasn't my forte. But don't quit. Study hard. Don't be like me. Yeah. I tried to teach a 7th grade math class a couple months ago at SJA, and they started teaching me. So you can tell that that's why I'm a pastor, because you don't have to do math or chemistry when you're a pastor. That's good. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these kids, and thank you that I get a chance to share with them again this morning. And Lord, what a blessing to have a week of prayer and just to be here with you and with them. Lord, I just pray again that you would just speak through me for a few minutes this morning. And Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just be thick on this campus, Lord. I just pray that your angels would just be around this campus and around each building, and that your Holy Spirit would just be in the hearts of each adult, each young person here today, Father. Just walk with us through this day, Lord. Help us to walk in your Spirit today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you were not here last night? So a few. All right. Well, I'll just want to do a real quick recap because we don't want you to miss out. And I really want to invite you, you Village students, I want to invite you guys to come tonight. I don't want you to miss it just because you're Village. So please come to Week of Prayer tonight if you can, if your parents will let you. If you can resist driving home in that sweet car that you have, the Buick Skylark 82 Limited. That's what I had when I was a kid. It's pretty sweet. I call it the Silver Bullet. Anyway. Last night we talked about who you are in Christ. Ladies, did anybody call themselves a princess this morning? Nice. All right. I hope that you guys will really, truly be grounded in this truth this week, that God actually calls you His child. When you accept that you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept Him as your personal Savior, you are ushered into a whole new identity. And I really want you guys this week to understand who you are in Christ. It's so important that you're grounded in this identity, that you are a child of a king. Ladies, that you are princesses. Guys, that you're knights, princes. It's so important. It's so important. Because as you go through life, this identity is going to be under attack. I talked to you guys last night about what I was like when I was in high school, trying to define myself based on my athletic ability or my ability to play an instrument or the type of music I listened to or the way that I dressed. None of those things define who you are. What defines who you are is what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That's what defines who you are. Because He ended the separation between God and man. When we believe in Him, we become His child. And that is the definition of who you are. You are a child of God. And nobody can take that from you. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not even death. No angel, even, it says in the Bible. No power on earth. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, which is in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Who you are is not based on what you wear. Who you are is not based on what you do. Although what you wear and what you do and the things that you get into are a reflection of who you are in here. That's what we talked about last night. We all have an identity crisis. And you know, tonight I'm going to talk about how this identity is under attack. And I'm going to get pretty serious. and talk about some stuff that's pretty tough. But I think we live in a pretty tough and a pretty serious world, and you guys are no strangers to it. But I can tell you this, the world is a lot different today than it was when I was in high school. Things are a lot different. The attack of the enemy is a lot more pointed. And I don't go to a single school where I don't talk to kids that are just going through all kinds of stuff. I mean, just unbelievable. And I know that some of you are sitting here today and you're going through some stuff. You know, coming to UCA is like coming to a safe haven. Although for some of you, coming to UCA has been really hard. I talked to a couple kids yesterday, they don't feel like they have any friend here. Not one. That's tough. That shouldn't be the case. Jesus Christ himself came and made the claim that he was the Son of God. Made himself equal to the Father by the words he spoke. That really made people mad. But that's who he claimed to be. That's who he was. And it says in Matthew 4 that he went out into the wilderness, and it says that he was there for 40 days and for 40 nights, hanging out in the wilderness, not eating or drinking anything. That's a miracle in itself. And he's hanging out there in the wilderness, and it says that the devil approached him, and the very first words the devil used on him are this: "If you are the Son of God." Interesting. If Jesus Christ himself came under the attack, if his identity as the Son of God came under attack when he was walking the planet, do you think for a second that yours isn't going to? Every time the devil come to him, it was, "If you are the Son of God, turn stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off of this temple. If you are the Son of God, fall down and worship me." And the devil's going to come to you with the same thing. You're not a child of God. You're not what the Bible says you are. No, that's not what you are. Let me define what you are. Let the world define what you are. Let other people's opinions define what you are. Not God's opinion of you. Come on. Do you really believe that stuff? Do you really believe what's written in this book? Come on. It says in John 10:10, it says the enemy has come to kill, steal, or destroy. That's a serious thing we're going to talk about. The devil's out to kill, to steal your life away from you, to destroy you, to take you out at the level of your heart so that you're not effective in life and you're not effective for Christ. What I see in front of me is a whole army, a whole possibilities. You know, God changed the world with 12 men. Jesus did. 12 men. Think of what would happen if every single student in this room was unleashed for Jesus Christ into the world. That's what this school exists for. And the devil wants to do everything he can in your heart and in your life to keep that from happening. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he was wounded in order to heal the wounds that you have in your life. He hung on a cross to heal the wounds that you have in your life. And it says in the Bible that because of that, he gives us his righteousness like a garment and it covers us. You know, I remember when I was here at UCA, I worked in the cafeteria. I told you guys that yesterday. Calf workers, unite. Yes. And I worked in the cafeteria, and we used to have a lot of fun in the cafeteria. We actually used to have to put this white, this wax stuff down on the floor every day before we buffed. And we'd wear our church shoes on that day. We'd wear our church shoes, and we'd do about half the floor with the wax, and then we'd get back by the kitchen, and then we'd run, and we'd hit the wax, and we'd stop, and just slide all the way to the end of this calf. Fun stuff. Yeah, don't do that. You'll get in trouble. I got fired. Yeah, I lost my job in the cafeteria. I got a little too crazy in there. But one day I was in the cafeteria. And the lady, I can't remember her name, there was these two old ladies that worked in the cafeteria, and poor old ladies, I feel so sorry for them, I need to apologize to them. They're probably not alive anymore because they were so stressed from having me work there. But anyway, I was in the cafeteria one day, and one of the old ladies said, "Ryan, could you please get the sourdough starter off the top of the shelf?" You know what the sourdough? Do you guys know what sourdough starter is? Sourdough starter is this. It's like runny dough. It's thick. It's like pudding, but a little bit thinner, but a little bit thicker than milk. That's the only way I can describe it. And you stick it. You make this dough, and then you stick it up on a shelf, and you let it sit there for like 30 days, and it gets sour. And then you pour that into the mix, and that's what makes sourdough. You guys eat it all the time, right? So she says to me, she says, "Hey, can you get the sourdough starter off the top shelf?" I said, "Sure, no problem." And skinny little Brian, I mean, I was about half the size of what I am now. And I went over there and I reached up on the shelf, and I didn't know what I was getting down off the shelf. Sourdough starter, it's just a bucket, it's no big deal, right? So I started to pull the sourdough starter off of the shelf. And all of a sudden, the bucket just did a whoop like this, As I got it off the shelf, it just whoop like this. And somewhere up there in the cosmos, the lid popped off. And so the bucket flipped up like this, and the sourdough starter, the whole bucket of sourdough starter came directly down on my head. So I'm standing there, and I'm just covered, like I couldn't see. Literally, I couldn't see. I was covered in sourdough starter from the top of my head, all down my shirt, all down my pants. There's sourdough starter all over the floor. And that was the first time I'd ever seen those two old ladies laugh. They were like so serious. And they saw me and they just stood there, these two old ladies just holding their stomachs, just laughing and laughing. And I was looking through the sourdough starter and I was like, "Can you please help me? I'm covered. I'm covered in sourdough starter." And they said, "You know what? You're going to have to go back to the dorm." It's not funny. The reality is, you guys aren't covered in sourdough starter. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are covered from head to toe in His righteousness. Perfect in every way. And when God looks at you, that's how He sees you. When you have Jesus Christ in your life and you let Him be the Lord and the Savior of your life, you're covered in righteousness. Tonight we're going to talk more about that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these kids. Thank you that you came to this earth, Lord, and through your life, your death, your resurrection, Lord, we have the right to be called children of God. Lord, I just pray that these kids would be absolutely grounded in this truth this week, that nothing would sway them from that. And Lord, I thank you so much that you've offered us your righteousness in place of our filthiness, in place of our sin, Lord. You cover us, Father, in righteousness. Thank you so much. Lord, just be with us as we go through this day. Bless us, and also, Lord, just bless our food that we're about to eat too. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you guys tonight at 6:40.